travel isn't just about movement, it's about discovery, opportunity, and the stories that shape our world. Welcome to EJ, The World of Travel, the podcast where we explore how travel connects people, businesses, and cultures. I'm Tony Doe, and every episode we bring you insights, trends, and real stories from travelers, industry experts, and entrepreneurs navigating the global landscape. So whether you're a frequent flyer, a business owner, eyeing new markets, or someone simply curious about the world beyond, you're in the right place. Let's take this journey together. For years, the flight path between Africa and China has been a highway in the sky for trade, tourism, and business. But now, a new aviation deal is set to rewrite the script on global air travel. Could this be the breakthrough that makes flying between these two powerhouses smoother, cheaper, and more accessible? Let's break it down. This landmark agreement between African nations and China is more than just a handshake over runways. It's a strategic move that promises expanded flight routes, streamlined visa policies, and direct connections to cities previously off the radar. What does that mean for travelers? Fewer layovers, lower ticket prices, and a serious boost to tourism and business exchanges. Africa's aviation industry has been navigating turbulent skies, high operational costs, inconsistent infrastructure, and limited international connectivity. But with China stepping in with investment, technology, and an open skies approach, we could be looking at a major shift. Airlines in both regions are already eyeing new routes, and some are even talking joint ventures. Imagine a future where Accra to Guangzhou is as seamless as a New York to London hub. Critics, of course, are raising eyebrows. Who really benefits the most? Will African airlines get the short end of the stick in this partnership? What about long-term economic dependencies? While these questions loom, industry experts argue that the potential for growth far outweighs the risks, especially for Africa's underserved aviation sector. The real test? Implementation. Deals like this sound great on paper, but travelers will be watching to see real change. Will we see new direct flights launching in the next few months? Will ticket prices actually drop? Will red tape give way to real accessibility? For now, Africa to China air travel is on the verge of something huge. Whether it's a smooth takeover or just another delay, only time will tell. One thing is for sure though, if you're a traveler, business person, or aviation enthusiast, then this is one flight path you want to keep your eye on. The 49th Annual General Meeting of NANTA, the National Association of Nigerian Travel Agencies, brought together Nigeria's travel industry leaders under one roof. Held in Lagos, the AGM wasn't just another conference. It was a call to action themed collective prosperity through market protection. Now that might sound like industry jargon, but trust me, the stakes are real and the conversations were fiery. Let's start with a big issue, cross-border ticketing. Imagine a traveler in Lagos buying a flight from a foreign agent. The booking is seamless, the trip goes well, but the payment? It vanishes into a foreign account. That single transaction might not seem like much, but multiply it by hundreds of thousands and you get a shocking number. Over $550 million lost in ticket sales in 2022 alone. And that's not just money, that's also jobs lost, agencies struggling, and a shrinking market share for local players. At the AGM, it was clear that this practice has to stop. The Minister of Aviation and Aerospace Development didn't hold back, confirming that five foreign agencies are currently under investigation. Now let's talk structure, or the lack of it. The keynote speaker, Professor Kemi Pinheiro, challenged the industry on its internal issues. Right now, anyone with a laptop can claim to be a travel agent. No licensing, no accountability, and no regulation. It's a free-for-all. His proposal? A statutory chapter that empowers NANTA to license individuals, enforce training, and raise the standard. In his words, and I quote, It's time to give travel agents the same professional respect we give lawyers or doctors. End of quote. Now that's a bold vision, but a necessary one. And speaking of professionalism, Nanta rolled out digital ID cards for its members, a small but powerful tool to help rebuild trust and show clients, hey, we're legit. On a brighter note, domestic tourism took center stage. From the hills of Jos to the markets of Lagos, Nigeria's local gems are often overlooked by Nigerians. But Nanta, in partnership with hospitality leaders like Equo Hotels and Suites, is flipping the script. The domestic tourism initiative is about creating jobs, growing local economies, and rewriting the Nigerian travel story from within. Our CEO at Global Links and Services Limited, Chinyere Omasiegbu, was in the room and had this to say.
This is very interesting because I'll say we started from last year, kind of, 30 December. You know, and it just came coincidentally, like even a divine arrangement, because last year at WTM, where Nanta's, you know, like officially handed over to Nigeria, our theme was like projecting Nigerian domestic tourism. And so this year, part of our project, you won't believe it, part of our project is Domestic Tourism Initiative. And under it, we're having Nanta Hospitality Partners. Equo Hotel is one of our partners.
So what's next? Nanta turns 50 in 2026, and they're not waiting till then to make moves. The Nigerian travel industry is on the brink of transformation. And here at EJ, we'll be tracking that journey every step of the way. Okay, so you're at the airport, right? And you've done the whole routine. Belt off, laptop out, liquids in a clear bag. You're moving through security, just trying to get to your gate, and then someone in front of you stops. Not because they forgot something, but because they're arranging their sunglasses, passport, book, and earbuds like a still life painting, so that they can do what? Snap a picture. Apparently, this is a thing now. The airport tray aesthetic. Gen Z travelers are turning security checkpoints into their personal photo studios, arranging their travel essentials like they're creating an exhibit at the Louvre. Flat day photography, TSA edition. Look, I understand. Social media runs on aesthetics. Millennials made brunch a whole production with Foodstagram. Now Gen Z is flexing their travel moments. A passport peeking out for that I'm international vibe. A well-worn book to show they're intellectual. Maybe some designer shades because why not? It's a lifestyle branding. One security tray at a time. But let's talk about the real issue here. The airport security is not the place for an impromptu photo shoot. People are already stressed, shoes half on, trying not to lose their boarding pass. And now we've got folks holding up the line, making sure their AirPods are the perfect angle. I'd love to see fan officials dealing with this at Muritala Mohammed Airport. You think TSA agents are rolling their eyes? Try Nigerian airport security. Oga, I beg, move! For Nigerian travelers, do we really have time for this? We're busy power walking to the gate because boarding was announced once over a static field speaker. Nobody's pausing to make sure their aesthetics are on point when they're hustling to beat the final call. And that said, the hustle is real. Some influencers have found a loophole. What they do is that they grab the tray after security and take their time getting the perfect shot elsewhere. Others, they're skipping the airport entirely and staging the whole thing at home. Tray bought on Jumia, fake boarding pass made in Photoshop, because why? It's the age of social media. The illusion of travel is sometimes just as good as the real thing. At the end of the day, this is what travel has become. Part adventure, part aesthetic, part content creation. And I can't knock it too much, to be honest. If it brings people joy and doesn't cause a riot at security, do your thing. Just maybe move to the side first. So next time you're at the airport, what's it going to be? Are you staging the shot or sighing in frustration at the person ahead of you? Either way, welcome to the ever-evolving world of travel, where even the security tray is part of the story. Quick pause to say at EJ, we don't just talk travel, we actually live it. And behind this show is a team that knows the industry from the inside. This episode is powered by Global Links and Services Limited Travel and Tours. Since 1999, we've helped travelers book smarter, move easier, and explore deeper, whether it's a business trip or a local retreat. From flights and hotels to airport transfers and curated experiences, we're in it with you. We're just a call, click, or message away. Find us on Instagram at GLS Travels NG. Call or WhatsApp +234 803 520 0478 or +234 809 080 8442. Email info@globallinkstravels.com. Website glstravels.com. Global Links and Services Limited Travel and Tours. Let's discover the world. Now, back to the show. So imagine this. You're at an immigration counter. You followed every rule. Your documents are in order. But then there's a pause. The officer scans your passport, glances at you, then back at the screen. Another officer joins in. If you carry a passport from the US, the UK, or even Japan, this pause is unusual. But if you're Nigerian, it's routine. For Alma Asinobi, chasing a world record, it became a recurring obstacle. Alma set out on an ambitious journey, #AlmaChasingContinents. The goal? To visit all 7 continents using public flights faster than anyone before. Starting March 2025 in Antarctica, aiming to finish in Sydney by March 23. A 60-hour challenge, but she carried a Nigerian passport. Nigeria's passport ranks 88th on the 2025 Henley Passport Index. It allows visa-free travel to just 46 countries. Compare that to Japan's 193. Alma needed 10 visas, faced multiple rejections, and was denied boarding at least once. Yet, she completed the journey. Not in 60 hours, but in 71.
I think I achieved the goal I set out to reach. This was not the goal of the number of hours it would take to reach all 7 continents. It was the goal of getting the message out there, the message of the realities of travel for Nigerian and other African or low mobility passport holders.
The delay wasn't about missed flights or poor planning. It was about a system that isn't built for travelers like her. First, visas. In theory, they regulate travel. In practice, they're a labyrinth, especially for Nigerians. Alma had to apply for multiple visas far in advance. 2 were denied, 5 times total. Even when granted, they weren't always enough. Take Perth, Australia. She had the visa, but the airline wouldn't let her board because their system hadn't updated. She had to reroute to Sydney, costing time and money. Or Punta Cana.
I realized I wasn't going to complete the challenge in record time. At different times, during the record at least. The first time was when my flight was cancelled in Punta Cana. It was almost impossible for me to make it to Australia in record time.
This isn't just her story. It's the Nigerian travel experience, or the NTX, as I prefer to call it. Then there's profiling. Nigerian travelers know the look. The quiet skepticism from immigration officers. Alma was detained in Egypt in 2023 over a return ticket dispute. In 2025, it was more scrutiny, more delays, more proving she had the right to move. And the cost? Travel isn't just expensive. It's disproportionately so for those with low mobility passports. Visa fees, extra flights for visa applications, last-minute reroutes, it all adds up. Meanwhile, travelers with stronger passports breeze through. So what can change? Nigeria could negotiate stronger visa agreements. If Ghanaians can visit South Africa without a visa, then why not Nigerians? Technology could also help. Real-time visa verification could have prevented Alma's boarding issue in Perth. In Africa, simplifying regional travel could set a precedent. Strengthening visa on arrival policies would make movement within the continent easier, creating a foundation for broader change. And then there's the perception issue. Nigerian travelers, business professionals, and record setters need to be seen for who they are. Not as risks, but as legitimate global citizens.
If I were to attempt this again, I will start at a different time. Maybe not March, sometime earlier in the Antarctic season. I would also have way more visas than I did.
Did she hit the 60-hour goal? No, but she still completed the journey. 71 hours and awaiting Guinness World Record verification. But this was never just about a record. It was about exposing the obstacles that Nigerian travelers face, about pushing against outdated policies, unnecessary bureaucracy, and unspoken biases. And maybe, just maybe, this is the moment that starts a bigger conversation. Your passport shouldn't decide how far you can go. I'm Tony Doe. This is EJ, the World of Travel. Thanks for listening. That's it for this episode of EJ, the World of Travel. If you found this insightful, don't forget to subscribe and share with others who love to explore the world in new ways. For updates, show notes, more travel insights, check out glstravels.com/podcasts or connect with us on social media at glstravelsng. You can also send an email to tony@globallinkstravels.com. Got questions or ideas for future episodes? Reach out. I'd love to hear from you. Until next time, keep moving, keep exploring, and keep discovering your world.